मन्नाथ श्रीजगन्नाथो मद्गुरुः श्रीजगद्गुरुः मदात्मा सर्वभूतात्मा तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। अहो चित्रमहो चित्रम् वंदे तत्प्रेम बंधनम् यद् बद्धं मुक्तिदं मुक्तं ब्रह्म क्रीडाभृगीकृतम् यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तग्वंह देवमात्मबुद्धिप्रकाशं मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये। Dear devotees, we've all gathered together here today to celebrate Holi. The very first time I went to India was during Holi. So those of you who have experienced Holi in India, you can imagine that was a great introduction. I went straight to our ashram in Mangar, which is the birthplace of Sri Kripaluji Maharaj, and where our main and first ashram is in India. I generally go there every year to take part in meditation intensive sadhana programs. So every year at this time, we have a two-week holy sadhana program, meditation and chanting intensive, devotional intensive. So at that time also, I went for that, and I got to experience having extended kirtan, doing extended meditation on Radha Krishna for the very first time in my life, for probably 14 hours a day for 2 weeks straight. It was a really amazing experience. And then on the last day, although we generally play Holi in Braj, they play Holi for 8 days at least, leading up to actual Holi Day. So there in Mangar, we played Holi sometimes with rose water, sometimes with flower petals, different variations. But of course, on the last day, on actual Holi Day, we played with color, dry powder, and also the warm, wet color. In India, the traditional way to make, like we were singing about the gopis and Gwalbals and Radha Krishna filling their pitchikaris, which are traditional squirt guns, you could say, for the holy powder. So that red liquid that they fill in there is traditionally made by boiling tesu flowers for several days. They get a big, huge cauldron, like from me to the front row of the audience, that big of a cauldron. They fill it with tesu flowers and just keep it on a low simmer for a good 3 days ahead of time. And out of these dark red flowers comes this dark red color, which is also very fragrant because of it's coming from the flowers. And then that warm liquid is used to play Holi with. So everybody got completely soaked, drenched, covered in powder, covered in Holi color. And we all felt not just that we had fun and that we had a good time throwing the holy color around, there was something else. It felt like something else had happened. Like I had been drenched in the bliss of Radha Krishna. Today we're going to play a similar holi without the wet color, just the dry color holi. So we want to get the most out of this holi play. You see, first you need theory, then you practice. Practice means we're going to go out and play holi. That's the practical aspect of holi. First, we need some theory. We need to understand what is holi. Why do we play holi? What am I supposed to receive or experience by playing holi? A few days ago, I was interviewed by a reporter from University of North Texas school paper. And she was commenting that holi has such a broad appeal to people of all cultures and backgrounds and even other religions because she was asking me why. And I said, I think it's because it's the kid in all of us who just loves the idea of playing holi. Who wouldn't like to do such a thing? It's like a spring festival marking the beginning of spring and a way to, you know, from a social perspective, you're putting holy powder on each other. So you're saying, forget all the past, leave all the grudges, all the bad feelings. We're brothers and sisters. Let's start fresh and go forward with good, positive feelings. So from a purely social perspective, this is very attractive. But there's so much more that can be experienced through holi if we actually understand the spiritual significance behind it. Holi day is connected, of course, with Bhakta Prahlad. Prahlad is a famous devotee of Krishna who is so well known because he was a child. He was only 5, 6, 7 years old when the most famous part of his life took place. His father was actually a demon. He was a Rakshas who was so powerful, he had even conquered Indra's abode. So even though he was a Rakshas, he also ruled Swarg. Not the divine world, nobody can conquer God, but he conquered Indra's abode. Prahlad was his son who had heard the teachings of devotion to Krishna while he was in his mother's womb because Naradji had been explaining the teachings of bhakti to his mother when she was pregnant with Prahlad. So he was a born devotee. He was always thinking of Krishna, chanting his name, worshiping him. But his father said, no, nobody should worship Krishna. Nobody should worship Hari, Vishnu. I am God. Do you see any God around here other than me? I rule this whole earth, the heavens, everything. Everybody worship me. I am God. His own son defied him. He continued to openly worship Shri Krishna. So one day his father got fed up. He had sat his son on his lap and he was trying to affectionately ask him, oh my son, tell me, what do you like to do? What pleases you? So Prahlad says, father, I love to worship Krishna. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyamatma nivedanam Bhagavatam. He describes 9 ways that he loves to worship Krishna. His father flew into a rage and says, you continue to defy me and worship Krishna? I'm your father and I'm telling you not to? That's it. So since he was a demon, he had that nature of anger and violence, so he decided it's time to finish this boy. He ordered his guards to kill him with their weapons. Prahlad was not disturbed. He kept his mind in Krishna. He didn't worry. He didn't think, oh, I may die. He said, I may die, I may not die. That's true for everybody. Let me keep remembering Krishna. Because his mind was perfectly in Krishna, the weapons of those guards had no effect on his body. They couldn't touch him or make a mark on his body. He was protected by the grace of Sri Krishna. Eventually, they decided to try burning him using the boon that his aunt, Holika, had received. Hiranyakashipu's sister, Holika, had a boon that she couldn't be burnt by fire. So they said, let's start a big fire. She can take the boy into the fire and he will be burnt. She will not. But what happened when they lit the fire? Again, for Prahlad, the fire was also Krishna, because Krishna is everywhere. He's omnipresent. So Holika was burnt and Prahlad was again saved. And in the end, his father said, I'll do it myself. Is your God going to save you here in my palace? You think your God is in the palace of a demon? Prahlad said, Father, Krishna is everywhere. Is he in this pillar, a huge stone pillar of his palace? Oh yes, Father, he's there as well. He took his gada, his mace, and he slammed it into the pillar. And as it contacted the pillar, that pillar exploded with a thunderous noise. And out of it came Bhagwan Shri Krishna in the form of Narsingh. Nar meaning man from the waist down, and Singh meaning a lion from the waist up. So his fangs he had on his forepaws and his hands. His feet were like human feet, but his hands were like the claws of lions. His face was a lion's face and the mane, and he growled, roared, and he killed Hiranyakashyap and saved his devotee, Prahlad. From this story, we also learn about God's omnipresence. He is everywhere in this world. He is here with us waiting to play holy right now. He's not only in the shrine. He's not only in divine Golok, divine Vrindavan. He's right here with us, watching. Anybody want to play holy with me? But to play holy with him, our heart has to reach out to him. Our heart has to open up to him. See, when Shri Krishna came as Narsingh, everybody else was afraid. Even Brahma and Shiva and Indra, they were all there. And they were thinking, it would be good if one of us went forward and at least thanked him for dispatching this demon who had been terrorizing us. It would be proper. Someone go up and do his stuti. None of them was willing to go in front. They all said, you go first. No, no, you go first. Nobody would go. In the end, Prahlad, little seven-year-old Prahlad, says, I'll go first. He goes fearlessly in front of Narsingh Bhagwan, who was frightening even Brahma and Shiva. And they go behind. Prahlad is going in front. Brahma and Shiva and Indra are going behind like that, watching to see what's going to happen. Because he was ferocious. When his devotee Prahlad came in front of him, all the ferociousness vanished from his face. And he smiled and picked up his devotee on one hand holding both feet and with the other hand holding his head, and he danced. Can you imagine? Narsingh Bhagwan, so ferocious, roaring, killing Hiranyakashyap, and the next moment he's dancing, holding his devotee, and tears of joy are coming from his eyes. In other words, Prahlad was not just afraid of God. Like we say, oh, God is everywhere. He knows what you're doing every moment. He knows what you're thinking. You better fear that if you do something wrong, he's going to punish you. Okay, that is also true. And that's a useful thing to remember. It will save us from doing many wrong things. Just like if you think you're alone and you're about to steal something and then someone walks in the room, you go, oh, just like pretending like nothing was happening. Just out of the fear of one human being, you are saved from doing a sinful act. So if we remember God is always watching us, we'll never purposely do anything wrong. So it's useful, but just that kind of fear of God, that's only a beginning. You know, when Arjun saw Shri Krishna, it's told in the 11th chapter of the Gita, when he got the divine vision of Krishna in his almighty form, that was like uncountable times more awesome, almighty, amazing than even the form of Narsingh. And Arjun is seeing that almighty form of Krishna, which he had requested. And he's trembling. He says, Prasida Devesha Jagannivasa Disho na jane na labhecha sharma Prasida Devesha Jagannivasa. He expresses what he's feeling. Oh Krishna, I'm trembling. I'm totally disoriented. You're so almighty, amazing. I can't even get my bearings. So don't prolong this almightiness for too long. I want to see you as my friend Krishna again, not this almighty roop. So when Krishna is in that almighty form, do you think Arjuna was thinking, hey, maybe I should grab a bucket of holy powder and dump it on his head? No way. He was trembling with respect in front of him. That's the same Krishna who's omnipresent, watching all of our thoughts. Okay, you did what? You thought what? You said what? I have to give you this consequence, that consequence. Meaning that's part of his duty. As Almighty God, that's one of the things he does for us. Keeps track of our karma and gives us the consequences. So such an almighty, serious God would not play holy with us. But luckily, that's not the only side of his personality. He's also got a playful, loving side. That playful, loving side you see here. When he's manifesting his prema shakti, his divine love power, then he appears as Krishna with the flute, who's with Radha, his female form. Radha Krishna are one and the same. This is the same Supreme God Arjun was trembling before on the battlefield. This is the same Supreme God that Brahma was afraid to approach when he was in the form of Narsingh. This is the same Supreme God who resides in our heart and is omnipresent and is watching our karma to give us the consequences. And yet, this same Supreme God says, but you can make me yours if you want. This is called Raga Nuga Bhakti. Devotion done out of fear to God is called Vaidhi Bhakti. He's God, I should respect him, I should worship him. That is also good. But if you want to get even closer, rise to another level, there's something called Raga Nuga Bhakti, where you take the Bhagavata out of Bhagwan. Okay, he's omnipresent. He's almighty, he knows everything, he's all-powerful. TK, fine. I'm setting all of that aside. In addition to all of that, and more important than all of that, he's my Krishna, she's my Radha. And they are so kind that they are willing to be ours. They can't be ours when they're in their almighty form. They're like the king and queen, and we're like lowly subjects in their kingdom. In Raga Nuga Bhakti, Radha Krishna come right to you. You can actually be their best friend. They can be your child. They can be your beloved. You can play holy with them any way that you want. This is the type of devotion traditionally practiced in Braj, India, where this type of holy play is most famous. And this is the type of devotion that was taught by Jagatguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj. And in that same tradition, we teach this devotion here in Radha Madhav Dham. It's a long tradition of saints. Gauranga Mahaprabhuji, Vallabhacharya, Surdas Ji, Swami Haridas, Hita Harivansh. In the same tradition of Rasik Mahapurush, who taught this Raganuga Bhakti style of devotion, we teach that here at Radha Madhav Dham. So it's with this feeling that we play holy. All of this is to prepare you to play holy in a couple of hours, in 1.5 hours. What should you be thinking? What could you experience? Think that this is Radha Madhav Dham. This is the Dham of Radha Krishna. So although they're omnipresent, we built this place especially to help people come here to realize their presence. So you can really feel Radha Krishna everywhere, all over the grounds, inside the temple, on the walking paths, in the holy places of Radha Madhav Dham. So remember they're with you. Feel them with you. And when you go to play holy, feel that that color is actually the color of their love, which is being put on you. It's soaking you. They're gracing you with their love, with their bliss, and they're right here with you. We maybe can't see them yet, but they're willing to come to us as soon as we surrender to them. They have given their divine vision to uncountable souls in the past. They could give us their divine vision any moment, but it's up to us to accept them, to desire them. Holy helps us to develop that desire. Oh, Radha Krishna could play holy with me? I want that. I want to have their divine vision. I want to meet them and I want to play holy with them. This is something very, very special. You see, in Hinduism, we have all the full spectrum of devotion to God. From devotion to formless God, to worship in a very formal way of God in His almighty forms, to this very loving way of worshiping God, playing with God, loving God. This total spectrum is not found in other religions. So within this spectrum, the Raganuga Bhakti taught at Radha Madhav Dham is this loving, playful devotion to God, which is, you could say, most perfectly exemplified by the way that we play holy. So keep all of these things in mind when we go and play holy in a little bit, and you can see what do you experience in your heart while we're outside chanting the holy songs and playing holy with each other and with Radha and Krishna. You see for yourself, what do you experience in your heart? What seed of bhakti could be sprouted like a flower sprouting and spreading throughout you due to your experience here at Radha Madhav Dham during Holi? Bolo Holi ke rasiya ki!